Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you think of when you hear that phrase, to the ends of the earth? Well, I would imagine that what probably comes to mind for you is an exotic place that's far away and remote, perhaps deep in the jungles or in wooded hills, far away from any kind of city or civilization. Now, the city of Antioch in the region of Pisidia was not the end of the earth to the people who were living in that region and in the region that's also known as Galatia, in what is now a central part of modern-day Turkey. Antioch was a Roman colony with enough Jewish residents also living in that synagogue to support their own synagogue, which was a place for worship, much like our churches today. Well, certainly not the same kind of architecture and design. But as a man named John, whom the Bible also calls Mark, prepared to accompany Barnabas and Paul on their journey from the coastal town of Perga to Antioch in about 100 miles inland, to him, it must certainly have seemed like they were going to the ends of the earth. We read about this John Mark in Acts chapter 13, verse 13. It says, at Perga, John left them to return to Jerusalem. Was it the rigors of the journey that lay ahead or the fear of danger lurking in wait on the road that caused John Mark to be afraid and to turn back? Or was he perhaps homesick, missing his family and the place that he was familiar with? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly the reasons that Mark was thinking about for why he left Paul and Barnabas and returned home. But Paul and Barnabas, despite this setback of being left behind by one of their close traveling companions, they continued on because they knew that God had commanded them to bring the message of salvation to the ends of the earth. And that included that city of Antioch in the region of Pisidia where they were going. At the beginning of the book of Acts, in chapter 1, right before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, those people who were following him, he said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This commission is reflected in the mission statement of our own church body, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, or the Wells. The Wells mission statement says that the Wells exists to make disciples throughout the world for time and for eternity. This Mission and Ministry Sunday that we are holding today is an opportunity for us to refocus ourselves on the mission that Jesus has given to us as members of his church, as his followers, to whom he has entrusted that great commission. In these words of the prophet Isaiah, which the Apostle Paul quotes in verse 47 of our reading, we see that our mission is to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And we do that by proclaiming the forgiveness of sins through Jesus and by speaking the word of the Lord to the world. Earlier in Acts chapter 13, we read that on that first Saturday that Paul and Barnabas, after they arrived in that city of Antioch and Pisidia, they went into the synagogue, the Jewish meeting place. And because they knew that there were people there who believed in God's promise to send the Savior that he had made through his prophets in the Old Testament. And as was customary in the worship service of the synagogue, after hearing Bible readings from different parts of the Old Testament, then there was time for an extended message from God's word, a sermon. And so the leaders of that synagogue invited this visiting teacher, Paul, to stand up and to deliver a message to the whole assembly. Our reading says, the book of Acts chapter 13 says that they invited Paul to share a word of exhortation or encouragement for the people, the believers who were assembled there. And since those who were assembled were all believers in God's Old Testament promises, his promise to send a Savior, Paul addressed them on the basis of that faith that they shared. He talked about how God had chosen their forefathers, the people of Israel, as the people through whom the Savior of the whole world would be born. And so, because God had chosen them for that purpose and made that promise to them, God had watched over them and protected them. All the way from the time that they were in Egypt, first as honored guests, because Joseph was the second in command in Pharaoh's kingdom, and all the way up through the time that God delivered them from slavery in Egypt through the leadership of Moses. God led the people out of slavery in Egypt through wanderings in the wilderness, past lands that were controlled by hostile nations that did not want to let them go and come through, and finally into the land of Canaan, modern-day Palestine, which God had promised centuries earlier to their ancestor Abraham that God would give to Abraham's descendants for their own homeland. And eventually, God also established kings to rule over the people. To the second of those kings, the famous King David, God renewed that promise that he had made centuries earlier to Abraham. God told David that one of his own descendants would reign eternally over God's people. He would be a king who would lead God's people forever and ever. And then in his preaching, Paul explained to the people sitting in the synagogue in Antioch that Jesus is the Savior of the whole world, that God had promised would come from the family line of Abraham and then from David. And Paul then told them all about how Jesus was arrested and falsely tried and convicted and then executed on a cross. And then also how God had foretold through King David and through the prophet Isaiah that after 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead. Paul explained to those people why that was good news for them. Because everyone who believes in Jesus as their Savior receives the forgiveness of sins that Jesus accomplished by his death on the cross. Paul told those people that that forgiveness of sins was for them. Paul explained that that forgiveness or justification that is being declared holy and righteous, perfect in the sight of God, that that is impossible to accomplish by following the law of Moses. In order to be saved by obeying the law, absolute, perfect, 100% obedience all of the time is necessary, or else the result is eternal damnation, condemnation by God because of sin. But even though it's impossible for anyone to be saved by following the law, that's still what many people throughout the world try to do. Whether it's people who follow the rules of various world religions like Buddhism or Hinduism or Islam, or just people who think that they'll be okay on Judgment Day when they meet their Creator and Judge face to face, simply because they've tried hard to be a good person. All of those religions and all of those religious ideas are all based on the idea of people depending on their own good works for salvation. And in fact, even many people who identify as Christians also focus more on their own works rather than looking to Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins and the assurance of salvation in God's sight. But it's only through Jesus that we have complete certainty that we have already been set free from all of our sins, that we have been justified by God, declared holy and righteous in his sight. In verse 39 of our reading, Paul says, "Through him," that is, through Jesus, "everyone who believes is set free from every sin." When we see water together with the word of God applied to a person in baptism, we know that sins are washed away, and the baptized person is clothed with Christ in the sight of God. When we receive the little bits of bread and wine together with God's word in the Lord's Supper, we know that we are also receiving the true body and blood of Jesus, and that our sins are forgiven and that our faith is strengthened. When we hear our pastor or a fellow Christian say to us in the absolution, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," we know, because Jesus said, that this is just as valid and certain as if Jesus himself were speaking those words to us. And since we know all of these wonderful truths of God's love and forgiveness for us through Jesus, God wants us to spread this saving message throughout the whole world to the ends of the earth. As Paul concluded in his sermon there in Pisidian Antioch that Saturday, he warned the people not to reject this message of salvation which they heard. The people were so intrigued by that message that Paul shared that they followed him after he left, and they begged him to come back on the following Sabbath day, Saturday, and to speak more to them about these things. And in our reading, we see in verse 44 that by the time a week had passed and the next Saturday had come, word about Paul's message had spread so much that almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. God had opened the door for his messengers to speak his saving message to large numbers of people in that city. By God's grace, God has similarly blessed our own church body with so many opportunities to bring his saving word to many people throughout the world. In our modern era, we are blessed to be able to take advantage of high-speed travel and of instant communication, which brings all the far remote corners of the world within easy reach. And more, people from all around the world are coming to the United States, sometimes even to our own neighborhoods. Just here in our city, there are people from almost every nation around the world. There are opportunities for sharing the gospel that seemed impossible only a generation ago. One example is the Hmong Fellowship Church in Vietnam. Now, you may know that Vietnam is still a communist country where the government controls most aspects of society and life. But after Wells Hmong pastor Bung Keo Lor got in touch with some Hmong pastors in Vietnam through the internet and began to teach the word of God to them, churches and communities that had been wrestling with internal quarrels and strife now experienced a peace and harmony produced by that unconditional message of forgiveness through Jesus. And the government of Vietnam noticed this drastic positive change in those Hmong communities. And so they invited Pastor Lor and the Wells to come and to establish a training program for all of the pastors and leaders of the Hmong Fellowship Church, which has over 100,000 members in it. A letter from that church in Vietnam says, "We thank you for the Wells training for the past 3 years. Now we believe that we have salvation. Without that, today we would still be living in the darkness of Satan. We believe that God already answered our prayers through the Wells." Think about that. Just a generation ago, we were fighting a war in Vietnam. Now we are sending messengers with the word of eternal salvation to those same people. Such opportunities to share the gospel are truly a gift of God, who does more than we could ever ask or imagine. Just as in Paul's day, there was opposition to the true message, sometimes even abuse and persecution, but still today, as at that time, all who were appointed for eternal life believed. Now, of course, not all Christians can personally carry the good news of salvation to the ends of the earth. Not everyone can teach a Bible study in the Himalayan foothills of Nepal, or instruct a seminary student in Russia, or teach in a Christian school in Apache land. But don't forget that to the ends of the earth includes everything between where we are right now and those farthest corners of the earth. Over the backyard fence to our neighbor, to the skeptical atheist or agnostic in the cubicle next to us, to the family that just moved in down the street, to reinvigorating our church's outreach efforts in the community, to reaching in to our church members that we haven't seen for some time. Your prayers, your offerings, your partnership in these efforts are vital. Prayers, we know, because God tells us they enlist His power in carrying out this great commission that He has given to us. And our offerings that we give support and enable others to go in our name to faraway places where we are not able to go. As a result of all these gospel efforts, just as at Paul's time, people are glad and honor the word of the Lord. At first glance, the command that our Lord has given us to bring the message of salvation to the ends of the earth seems overwhelming, even impossible. However, if we take just a quick glance at the news about mission work on our church's website, wells.net, we see that there are opportunities in our own country and around the world that reveal that God is already enabling us to go to the ends of the earth. God the Father, who made His Son, Jesus, a light for the Gentiles, has also called us to bring the light of His salvation to the ends of the earth. With the gospel of forgiveness and by the power of God's Holy Spirit, He has equipped us to do just that. So let's go forth with that confidence and share this saving word of God. Amen.